Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It's a big day in Chicago. Part one of the Chicago mayoral election. 14 candidates, Wendy. 14 candidates. One of them, or actually two of them, should emerge as your front runners tonight.
I wonder who it'll be.
In studio with us right now, the legendary Walter Jacobson to talk about today's mayoral election. Hello, Walter.
Well, good morning, both you guys.
Nice to see you.
And it will nice to be here. Thank you for asking me. And it will be a long time before we know. It's not going to be easy to pick those two candidates because out of 14, that means that a lot of people will be voting smaller amounts of vote, you see? Mm-hmm. So they won't know. We won't know. It could be for 2 weeks who the two finalists are.
And the 2 weeks is because they won't count write-in ballots until the 13th, right?
60,000 people have asked for write-in ballots, and 30,000 have so far returned them. Mm-hmm. That means there are 30,000 still out. So those, when they're counted, and they don't have to be counted until March 13th, because that's the last day for counting ballots, according to the Board of Elections, and they don't, if they don't count until then, we'll sit on edge. And, you know, the candidates will also be afraid to concede to say that they've won. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Why the delay? Wouldn't it make sense if people have been sending in these write-in ballots, why don't they tally them and have them ready tonight?
They are starting, Bill. They're starting to count them right away, but they don't know. But they won't all be in until later.
Yeah.
Is it undecided votes as well? Who to choose? Is that the problem this election, just because of all the candidates?
Sure. Do you made up your mind?
No, and in fact, I feel a little left out because I can't vote. Because I don't live in Chicago, but I took a Tribune poll and answered questions and issues that were important to me, and it told me who I should vote for, and Willie Wilson was the guy I was supposed to vote for, and Preckwinkle was actually towards the very bottom.
Interesting.
Boy, that is interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so hard to trust any of these polls, either by the media or by the candidates who are running, because everybody's got an interest. Everybody asks different people. Different people don't tell the truth in polling, you know.
Exactly.
In the midterms, we didn't know. In the last election, of course, with Trump, we didn't know, because people are asked by guys like us, and people answer, but they don't answer what they're really feeling. By the time they get into a polling place, they change their minds.
I thought after the last presidential election, when all the polling places were all wrong, it really did screw up their legitimacy. Yeah. I thought so anyway.
I thought so too. But you know, prior to that, they have been very reliable.
Yeah.
At least according to the records.
Yeah.
So you just never know.
What does this city need most in a new mayor? We've had what I think is a pretty dependable mayor the last couple of terms with Rahm Emanuel. So going forward, Walter, what do you think is the most important attribute or attributes?
Well, you know, we've got a problem with violence, of course, and somebody's got to decide what to do about it, and it's not going to be easy. That's going to be the primary thing, and then the major issues are going to be Board of Education. Should the school board be elected or should be appointed by the mayor, and continue Rahm Emanuel's beginnings in investing money, getting money invested in the neighborhoods outside the Loop and the Gold Coast and too far west and far southwest and far northwest. There hasn't been, and you know, if you walk around Woodlawn or Englewood, you can see that it's like a bombed out city still. And there is not enough investment there in businesses, so there's no people staying, and not enough people educated enough to get jobs, not enough jobs available. I think between the violence and the joblessness in the inner city, that's what the next mayor has to be most.
Do you agree? People have called Chicago the Tale of Two Cities, where if you go around a lot of downtown Chicago, you say it's sparkling. It's never looked better.
Right.
But a couple miles in one direction or the other, and you say, what happened? Look at the fall off.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Aren't most cities like that, though?
Well, I don't know enough about enough of them, but none that I know. I mean, New York and Philadelphia and Miami and Dallas.
Yeah.
They don't see it as obviously as we do. The minute you get off the lakefront, the inner city, I hate to use the word slums, but the inner city is so close to the outer city where the wealth is, that the difference is very dramatic. And when you drive up and down Lakeshore Drive, my God, by Buckingham Fountain, and all the way up to Evanston and down to Hyde Park, it's really absolutely magnificent.
Yep.
There's probably not a more beautiful city in the world.
Yeah.
I haven't been to all of them, of course, but I can't think of any city that looks as beautiful when you're on the lakefront here.
Yeah.
And then 5-6 blocks in, it's empty. So that's what the next mayor has to do. Better even than Rahm did. Or he started, so keep going.
Yeah, right.
Do you think people are doing their homework, or is it a name game? Are they just going with names that they're familiar with?
It's hard to say what people are doing, but, you know, this is a very tribal city. Voters in the neighborhoods, very neighborhood city, and people stick together by their tribes, and that's how they vote. That's the way it's always been. The black people vote for black candidates. The Jews vote for Jews. The Germans vote for Germans. The Irish Catholics vote for Irish Catholics. And that's more pronounced here than any other city in the country. And that's got to be going on today.
Since we're talking about name recognition, in our lifetimes, we've had two long-running mayors, both named Daley. Now a third Daley is head in the ring, and he's not really playing off of the name. I mean, you can't avoid the name, but you would think a guy like that who's in that family would use it, and he doesn't seem to want to. What's going on?
Well, because there's been so much criticism about the first Mayor Daley,
yeah,
and even the second Mayor Daley as being bosses who tell everybody what they want to be, what they not necessarily want to hear, but what they ought to be told, what they're told to do, and you need to somehow break through these boundaries of ethnicity that cause people to vote just for those who have the same names that they do.
Yeah. He wasn't always the front runner. A lot of polls have him in either the number one or the number two spot right now. But if you go back a couple months, he was far from the number one or number two guy. What did he do in the last couple months to bring himself up to that spot?
You're talking about Bill Daley.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing he did was get himself $8 million in contributions.
Yeah.
With which he could buy a lot of time on television. The second thing he did was find a company that could make good television ads. His are very impressive.
Mm-hmm. I love that logo with the Chicago flag and his name Daley. That's so cool. I don't vote for a logo, of course, but some people do. Bells and whistles, right?
Absolutely.
But in span, though, Walter, he had something of a scandal. They unearthed an old test scandal, which was already kind of known, but they played it up, and he still went up in the ranks.
Well, you know, people don't pay a lot of attention, we find, to those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
They are much more interested, as you observed, in names.
Yeah.
And Daley's name, of course, is as big a name as you could possibly get. But it's hard to say whether people are thinking Daley, oh my God, I don't want another one.
Right.
Not because the first two were bad, but enough is enough.
Yeah.
And those who say that he's probably the most qualified because he has the most connections in business and volunteer ground troops.
Right.
I thought for a long time that he was going to have a hard time.
Did you? Yeah. Because why?
Well, because I thought the name was not good. Not that it's been a bad name, but because it's just old time.
Want something new and different.
Yeah. And you know, the parking meter law that was set by this last Mayor Daley was really a killer. Anytime you go in the streets anywhere and ask people what they're thinking about Daley, the first thing they say is
the parking meter
meters. But Daley is Daley, and for older voters, the name is magic.
Sure. Yep. Let's take a little break, and then Walter Jacobson is here. We're talking about today's mayoral election. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, it's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about Chicago's mayoral election with the great Walter Jacobson. Walter, you said something a little while ago that I can't shake, and you said that what tends to happen in an election like this is that African-Americans vote for an African-American candidate, Hispanics vote for a Hispanic candidate, Jews vote for a Jewish candidate. Will that ever go away, or is that just something that's going to be forever?
Well, you'll have to knock down the barriers to the neighborhoods before that'll go away. And it's not a bad thing, really, all that bad, because people want to get expressive about the people that they feel close to, and this city is very neighborhood-oriented. And you grow up with the people you started with, you know, in some of these neighborhoods, they never really get out of them. And you don't necessarily, but you could get the most qualified person in the office as a result of that breakdown.
Yeah.
But I don't think, in answer to your question directly, I can't see how it's going to change.
No.
Who's going to reduce property taxes? Because they would get my vote. In your opinion, who would be the best candidate for that? Or any?
They'll all vie for that.
Yeah.
Everyone will say he or she wants to do that. But then, you know, if you don't have the taxes, how are you going to get the services? Somebody's got to pay for the police and the garbage collectors and the window washers.
But why do we pay so much more than other counties?
Well, that's a good question. I don't. Other counties?
Or other places. I just know Cook County is terrible.
I can't answer that
question. There's no answer for that, is there?
All you say is you need the money. There's always a lot of talk about waste in government.
Yeah.
And there is waste, but that's not the major thing. The major thing is that it's expensive. And the politicians have given great power to the labor unions, which have now got great pensions for take on forever. And that's put us in this terrible debt. So, you know, Bruce Rauner tried to solve that problem by knocking the unions off their heels, and he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah,
because, you know, that means taking away from people who really need it the most.
It's, and that may have helped cost him an election, don't you think?
I think it did.
Yeah. How important is it that the next mayor of Chicago be from Chicago or be synonymous with Chicago? You got guys like Gary McCarthy, who's an East Coaster, but doing his best to make a run for the mayoral spot. What do you think?
Well, we'd have to ask the individual voters to get an answer to that question. I mean, I think Gary McCarthy really did a good job as police superintendent.
Yeah.
I like the image of a tough New York Irish cop.
Yeah.
So people lean toward those kind of things that make them get emotional about something like that. And I don't see that changing either.
Yeah, that's
with
for a while.
The victory of J.B. Pritzker, do you think that is going to change the outcome of the mayoral race? Would it have been different if Rauner remained in office? Or does that make no difference?
I would say it would make very little a difference, if any.
And the good news is we've made history here. This is the largest field of mayoral candidates in Chicago's 181-year history. So that's something for the record books, right?
Yeah, that's right. A positive. Do me a favor. We don't have a whole lot of time with you left, but go through. We've talked about Bill Daley a little bit, but go through some of the other front runners and what your thoughts are about them. Start out with Amara Enya. She's interesting because she started out with a lot of vibrato and had some celebrity backing and just kind of faded away a little bit. What happened there, do you think?
Well, she got a lot of bad publicity about her own personal finances.
Yeah.
And of course,
didn't pay somebody key to her campaign.
Right.
Yeah. And her campaign manager was
Walter. She was in great debt. It was it was the campaign manager.
It was, right?
Yeah, and she just, her personal finances seemed to be a mess. But she's very young, and she hasn't got experience in Chicago politics. She knows very little, if anything, about organizing for a campaign.
Yeah.
So it's understandable that she kind of fell off the lead team.
Yeah.
She was never one among the top four. The top four, of course, were and still are Preckwinkle, Daley, Mendoza, and Chico.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to break into that, I don't think. But I should say, you know, you never know. Something could happen this afternoon that will cause the numbers to change. Something big that's on the radio or on television at 3 o'clock in the afternoon before the polls close, and that could make people vote something that they weren't planning to vote on when they went into the booth in the first place.
Sure, of course.
What do you think turnout's going to be?
I think it's going to be very big. And it's heading that way.
Yeah.
But I'm watching out the window right now.
The weather could be a factor?
Oh, my God. It's always a factor. And that's going to help Bill Daley.
Why do you say that?
Well, because Daley has the most connections to the people who are running the wards, the precinct captains and the aldermen,
yeah.
and they're the ones who get the people out. It all what happens today is what will make the difference, not what they've been talking about for the past couple of months,
right.
though it should.
Right.
And I got to say, hats off to them and to the media in this campaign for focusing on issues. But what matters, and all really in the end what matters, is who gets their people out to the polls.
Sure.
During the day.
That makes
and
sense.
Daley's, you know, the Daley's been around so long. He's got so many connections in the wards, and so many connections in the grassroots. I suspect that he's going to have the biggest volunteer and paid staffers
mm-hmm.
to get people to knock on doors and get them from the home to the polling places.
We have only a minute here, but I'm so curious. I've asked this question. Wendy and I have discussed this many times when it comes to elections. This is the day. People are going to vote today, and you still have candidates showing up at bus stops and at train stations just so people can see them. They're going to be visible. Does that still matter? Would somebody vote for somebody just because they saw them, do you think?
Yeah, you never know what makes people vote. Look at all the people who stand out in the street for hours to watch movie stars, you know.
Right.
But I don't know that that would make, I don't know if it make them vote.
What if they're undecided? Because I think it would. If
it would
I was
them?
In between two candidates and I shook hands
oh,
and
shook
this
hands.
Person yeah. seemed like a very nice person, I might go, you know what, they get my vote.
Absolutely. But Bill was saying looking at them.
Oh, okay.
Seeing them, no.
Yeah.
But I was gonna,
a handshake
and I was
would
gonna
make
add,
a difference?
Oh, a handshake, of course.
Yeah.
Stop and a pat on the shoulder. That's very important.
Huh. Isn't that
kissing
amazing?
Babies, shaking hands. That's
yeah.
what you do.
Yeah.
Start doing it, Bill.
I do the opposite. I kiss I shake
no,
hands.
No, stop.
Walter, thanks for hanging out with us. Really
any predictions of your top two?
Yeah, give us the two.
Well, I want to say, first of all, that anything can happen, so it's hard to predict,
sure.
especially with this many candidates. But between Preckwinkle and Daley, and they seem to be in the lead. How do you say C and B in the lead? As I was saying earlier, Daley's got the connections in the wards. Preckwinkle's
yeah.
got the connections in the African-American community.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest voting block in Chicago. And Mendoza and Chico, two Latinos, will divide the Latino vote, so
yeah.
that will pretty well eliminate both of them. But then tomorrow could be just the difference.
Who knows? And when does Rahm step down?
In May, I think it is.
That
okay,
right.
So we have some time to
yeah.
get through this, I guess.
You're on with Justin Kaufman tonight at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
8 o'clock. We'll
busy,
be
busy.
Very busy.
Yeah. Thank you, Walter.
Fun
Walter.
Day for me. Thank you for asking.
Appreciate it. We'll take a little break, get you some news, a lot more ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN, and it's a Tech Tuesday. We'll be talking to Bridget Carey from CNET, but I am here to help the masses. I have a public service announcement.
Can't wait to hear. Wendy, what is it?
We could use it.
All right.
Never a better time.
I don't like to think that I'm easily swayed to fall for a scam.
No, you've been not. No.
I'm really not.
Uh-huh.
Only once did I send money to a Nigerian prince.
Right.
Only once.
You'll get your money back. You'll see.
In all seriousness, yes, tenfold, hundredfold. I got.
How do you fold it 100 times?
That's a good question.
Just strong enough.
I got an email, and it's from traffic enforcement, and it says notice of moving violation, and there's some like T67432, like it looked
yeah.
official.
Yeah.
And it just says a vehicle registered to your name was observed by a stationary traffic camera going more than 2 times the legal speed limit.
Oh.
I could see that happening.
It's possible.
This has resulted in a traffic citation. Here's basic information about this citation. The date of citation was Tuesday, February 12th. That's my birthday.
Uh-huh.
So that was suspect. The fine amount was $275.
What? Oh.
License points charged, one, and traffic camera ID.
What does that, what
I
does
don't
that last
know.
Part mean? You don't know what that
in
means?
In some states, I don't think here, but in some states, you if you accumulate too many points or lose too many points,
oh, okay.
you can lose your license.
Oh.
All right. Well, I wouldn't know that. There is no information about my license plate or where it was.
The location is not mentioned at all.
No. It's very vague. And then it says, to see more details about the citation, a photo of your vehicle and information about paying the fine or requesting an appeal, please see the attachment. So there's an attachment here. And I got to tell you, I was sitting there last night at the table with my son, Michael, He's 19. I said, I'm dying to see this information. He's like, don't click on it. What's the email address? And so I looked at it, and it's traffic enforcement is what the label was.
It doesn't say a state. It doesn't say a city.
That's just what it's labeled. And then if you look at the return address, if you click on it to find out more information, I didn't download it. It says no reply at gov-services.com. So Michael looked up that website, and lo and behold, it says your connection is not secure. The owner of gov-services.com has configured their website improperly to protect your information from being stolen. Firefox has not connected to this website. And then I'm telling you, I almost fell for this. And I don't know what it does if you download an attachment on your iPhone. I like to think it doesn't.
It won't corrupt your files.
That's what I think, but I don't know, and I didn't download it.
I think Ryan Burrow here got something very similar.
And I'm telling you, I've had some Art Nasseri's here. Come in here, Art.
He does our tech stuff.
I thank God my son Michael said, let's look up that return address.
Sure, that was a good move.
And you see, gov-services.com. First of all, if it was a government agency, it would be .gov.
.gov. They don't begin with .gov.
Our IT wizard, Art Nasseri, is here. Uh-oh. Are you proud of me for not opening it?
Yes.
That's a good move. He's very proud of you.
Are you shocked?
Are you shocked that I didn't open it?
Well, people do tend to just go for
it. Telling you, it really looked legitimate. And then I thought, okay, this is kind of weird. They picked my birthday. So if they found public records of my date of birth.
I think that might have just been a coincidence. I don't think they. Why? What would be in it for them to put your birthday in there?
Because then I'd be more. Do you know this, Art? Do they stuff that's familiar?
On you, though. I mean, they can.
They got information on me.
Anyhow. I mean, the email addresses that you share online and all that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
yeah. So if I downloaded it on my work computer, that would be a problem. What about on an iPhone? Would that corrupt files, or does it go into like the big?
Well, it all depends, really. On a computer, it might cause a damage if it's a real spam or is a real virus.
Well,
on a phone, usually it's a little.
I'm dying safer,
but
to
then
look
again,
at it.
We don't know what's in that attachment.
Is there a safe
do not open it, report it as a spam if there is a facility on your email client that you can report it.
Right.
Report it as a spam.
Is there a safe way, Art, for Wendy to view this without endanger? No? There's no safe way.
If you
don't
recognize
it, you don't expect it.
Right. But more than likely, there's no way they could have caught her vehicle speeding because her vehicle wasn't speeding. So what are they going to show her?
Well, I may have. I've gotten a red light ticket before, and they mail you the information.
It says double the speed
limit. See, sometimes when they send these spam emails, the whole point of it to make the text so
believable,
sure. So you take action. So that's the whole point of it.
How much money are they asking for?
$275.
Just send it to them.
Just send it.
All right, you two. Give me the money. But seriously, I have a red light ticket that I got, and it was $100.
Yeah.
And they mail it to you with a picture of your car and your license plate. I tried to blame my husband and say, you were driving it that day.
But it was you.
It was me.
I mean, every time, if you get anything like that in the email, you try to find a contact source that has nothing to do with the email. If they give you a number, they give you a link.
Yes, and then you contact them. But Google them and contact. That's why I'm so glad my son was there, because he's like, well, let's Google this, you know, gov-services.com. And sure enough, it's reported spam-like situations.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, contact the agency directly if you suspect that this is a fake.
Or just ignore it.
Take action on the email.
Yeah. If you owe money to the city, they'll send you. Typically, it's via mail. It's registered mail.
Exactly.
They're not going to email
send
you.
Emails because they don't have most of the time. They probably don't have all that information.
All right, Wendy's also getting emails from the owner of the New England Patriots recommending massage parlors. Are those legit or illegit?
Hey, send me one of them.
All right, well, I'm just doing a public service here because seriously, I am not easily scammed, and I was so close to clicking on it to go, oh, yeah, where was I?
That's where they get you. They make
I know. So if they throw in your birthday and things that are familiar to you, because also these scam calls I get all the time are my area code and the first three digits of my phone number, because then you think,
it's
a neighbor.
Yeah,
exactly.
I am here to help protect everyone.
Oh.
I am going to be Wendy the Watchdog.
Wow. There we go.
Thank you.
Art, just so you know, did not download it.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thanks, Art, for hanging out.
Ryan Burrow did, though.
Oh, he did? Oh, that's
no,
good.
No, no. Awful. No. No, but Steve said Ryan got the same thing. And yeah. It's just, it really is so believable. So I'm just here to help you.
You know what's weird about, you get those phone calls with your same exchange and everything. So whenever I get robocalls, they're from LaGrange.
And, well, that's me.
Well, I don't live in LaGrange. And it's got the first three digits of my phone. So, you know, I can always tell because it's blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I called someone the other week and they picked up. They thought it was their brother. She goes, he lives in LaGrange. So I just assumed it was him. So somehow my phone thinks it lives in LaGrange. That when I call other people, it says I'm calling from LaGrange, too.
Why would that be?
I don't know.
The first three digits, maybe.
No, I mean, it's a cell phone. I mean,
yeah, but like the interchange, like when we had a home phone, it was 352.
But not for cell phones. It doesn't go by geography.
All my RoboCops are Hinsdale.
Mine are Roselle.
They all say Hinsdale, and it's the three numbers are the beginning of my phone number, always. The first
mine
three numbers.
Always say Roselle.
But that ends up being helpful because then you know that they're illegitimate.
Yeah,
right?
I always know. Cause whenever I see Hinsdale, I go, I don't even know anybody who lives in Hinsdale. A couple people, but I know that's not their number.
You wouldn't take their calls anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I like them anyway.
And I actually called the number back. I have problems sometimes because I was so irritated and I got like five in a row, the same prefix and the same area code.
Does anyone pick up?
So I called it back and it was a woman and she had a bit of an accent and she's like, hello? And I said, do not call me again. And she's like, what? So you can obviously punch in any number you want to be the return call. So this poor woman.
So that woman never called you.
I don't
think
so.
They just gave her number.
Oh, I yelled. I swore.
Oh, no.
I gave her some choice words. I go, don't you ever call me again. What?
And now you meet for coffee twice a week.
Happy ending, Steve. We'll take
don't
a break.
That.
Bridget Carey will join us from CNET. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Tech Tuesday, it's Bill and Wendy, and I was trying to prevent people from getting scammed. If you get a moving violation email and it's not from .gov, don't get it. This was gov-services.com. And someone said, if you don't pay it, it'll double like the red light tickets. But as I was telling Bill off the air, they don't have my email address registered to my license plate, only my home address. Mm-hmm. So they would mail it. Scams aplenty and bad things on the internet. Bridget Carey is here for our Tech Tuesday. You can follow her on Twitter at Bridget Carey or Instagram at Bridget Happens. CNET senior editor. Bridget, what is going on in your tech world?
Well, I am glad that you didn't respond to that email, that's for sure.
I know, but it almost got me.
Well, you know why it almost got you? Because when they try to scam people, they do the things that make you panic. Ticket? What? I've been hacked? What? I need to send my information right now? What? Someone bought something in my name? And they always do those moments where you kind of lose yourself a little bit. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And on Facebook, there was a big hacking going on, too, with a lot of my friends where they sent a video and you're supposed to click on it. Whenever I get a message on Facebook and I don't know the person, don't click on it because then it gets into your address book, doesn't it?
It gets in your
bloodstream.
And
then just automatically sends out to other people. Is that how that works? God, I'm sick of the internet.
Yeah, me too. It's very easy to not realize what you just clicked on, and next thing you know, you just gave permission to some app that you thought was Facebook, and it's not, and then they have access to your account, and they start sending things on your behalf. Yeah, it's a very slippery slope. It happens very quickly. But speaking of being sick of the internet...
This will do it. Yep. I know what's coming. This is bad.
Yeah, it's the latest stuff everyone's talking about with YouTube, and specifically kids' videos on YouTube. You've heard for a while that there's been some just awful junk out there that these computer programs will just, you know, make nonsense to autoplay next for your kids to watch, and if you don't, you know, if you're not on top of it, suddenly like you don't realize the kind of nonsense that they're watching that actually is kind of violent sometimes and gross. And it's done on purpose to just be mean. And the latest thing is that a pediatrician has been sounding the warning bells because she's sitting there with her kid watching YouTube and an innocent cartoon is playing and the cartoon, which you think is normal, stops and then starts playing a guy who's explaining how to commit suicide by slashing your wrists.
Oh, my
and then
God.
And then it goes right back to the cartoon. You turn your head to go wash a dish. You have no idea. And this is a video that probably was just recommended to play next, and you're not really noticing, like, who the maker of the video is in these cases, because, oh, it looks like the same little series of videos that my kid always watches. You know, my kid always watches the little nursery rhymes or whatever it is. And in this case, a lot of people are kind of getting their sick laughs on putting these terrible messages right smack in the middle of something that looks innocent. And this pediatrician then started watching more and more and found much worse things out there, terrible messages being put inside cartoons to the point where she's had to stop recording. And there's been a lot of news articles written about this. And I would say, as a parent, this really scares me too, because so often you just put the phone up for a second to be like, oh, here's a nice nursery rhyme. And you turn around, the babysitter turns around, the caregiver, whoever it is, grandma, grandpa, and the next video autoplay, it still looks like a Mickey Mouse cartoon. It still looks like something safe from Disney, but it's not. And we all have to just be more aware by taking extreme measures, I think, because the tech companies are not.
They're Bridget,
say,
you know,
oh,
I'm not.
Care. We'll take it down, but they're not taking these things
I'm
down.
I'm not defending it at all. Yeah. But there's millions and millions of videos up there. I don't know how they could police all of them. It's a numbers game.
No, and that's why I'm no longer going to, like, let my daughter watch YouTube. I mean, yeah. I've never given her YouTube, but I know that sometimes when she's with someone else being watched, they might go, oh, here's a nice nursery rhyme.
Right.
And then I look over, and I'm like, it's not a nursery rhyme anymore. It's nonsense. It's just sounds of violence and babies crying.
Yeah.
And the kids are watching, like, it, I don't know what it's doing to their heads, but it's not good. So what I'm doing as the mother of a toddler is I'm now going to say, listen, if you need a moment for her to watch something, here's a tablet with preset videos. No more YouTube, but because, it's a crutch. It's a crutch for people.
Right.
But at least, like, here is a set amount of shows that are okay on Netflix or that I know I preloaded and pre-downloaded this Disney movie. And that way, we could just avoid this whole mess altogether because there is no stopping it. You're right. The tech companies, they have a business to make. They don't want to totally stop it. And
that's
they
terrible.
Clearly don't have the tools to
right.
to monitor this.
Horrible. Horrible. All right. Can we talk about something much, much happier? Last week, you were at Toy Fair in New York. Just give us a couple of highlights. What are some toys coming out this year that are new and exciting?
Well, I always kind of keep an eye out on, like, the tech trends and some other weird things. Llamas are the biggest toy.
Llamas
oddly
are?
Enough. Yeah.
Why?
You can thank Fortnite for that. That's the popular video
yeah.
game. So in Fortnite, one of the big, like, little things you have to find is this llama pinata that's full of loot, and it actually has so much influence on kids' culture that there's llamas in almost every toy now, like a llama plush this, and a dancing llama, and a booty-shaking llama, and a llama that spits in this, and everywhere you turn, another llama. But I would say also an interesting twist, because I'm always looking for the tech side of things, is that speaking of influence, YouTube does have a big influence on toys, too. Everywhere you turn, there's a famous YouTube personality plastered on a box. Toys now come with a little phone stand, so you can take a video of yourself playing with this toy and upload it later, kids. And there's a new little doll line, like a fashion doll line,
mm-hmm.
where the dolls, they're called Snap Stars, and they're social media influencers, and they come with their
oh
own green
God.
Screen background. So you, too, can live that life of being on Instagram and YouTube, through the eyes of the doll. So it is kind of wild how much, these moments in culture, this whole YouTube side of things does influence toys. I talk to the companies. They say, we don't have to make commercials anymore.
Right.
We put our money in YouTube. We don't do TV commercials. It's all YouTube. The toys have their own YouTube shows, or they just go straight to a famous YouTube person. Speaking of Fortnite, before that, there's a service called Twitch where people stream video games. The most famous streamers have their own toys, like little cartoon personifications of themselves that you can collect. Ninja is one of them. He's got, like, his own line of plush dolls, so you can snuggle up at night with the cartoon personality of your favorite social media star. it's a little weird. There's always a lot of fun stuff, too, that's normal on the side of toys,
yeah, sure.
I would say. Yeah, but for me, that was like the new twist, I think, that I didn't expect. Llamas and social media influence.
We need to go back old school, and we only have 30 seconds here, but I have to tell you, Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove comes out on Friday, and I'm very excited about that. It's a fun game. Will you be playing it on Friday? I know you like it as well, Bridget.
Oh, I can't wait to get my hands on it. And there's a lot of retro games that are hot. Like, I saw a lot of Pac-Man comeback stuff and Atari stuff. So retro is definitely hot for those of us who are nostalgic.
And safer.
Yeah.
A lot safer. Bridget, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's Bridget Carey from CNET. That's the site to visit. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand, all from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are being paid a visit by Patrick A. Salvi II, managing partner of Salvi Shostak and Pritchard. Is that correct?
You got it.
All right. Thank you for coming up, Patrick. We're going to be talking about this whole Sterigenics thing that has really exploded. I live in LaGrange, not too far from Willowbrook, but I know there was big news when the Sterigenics plant was closed on a Friday. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was February 15th, right?
This is scary stuff. They are a company that basically sterilizes medical supplies. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. So Sterigenics is a company in Willowbrook, and they have a plant where essentially they can take medical supplies that are even packaged, so they don't even have to take the supply out of the package. And with the equipment that they have and with the use of a gas, ethylene oxide, sterilize that medical equipment.
You need sterile medical equipment. That's a fact. And I didn't know anything about this Sterigenics plant. And how did it come to light?
Sure. So in the fall of last year, there was a report put out by an agency within the federal government that identified excessive emissions as well as an increased danger associated with ethylene oxide. In other words, ethylene oxide has been now recognized as being a known human carcinogen. And so we're on much more heightened alert as it relates to that gas. But in addition, excessive emissions in and around the Willowbrook area where Sterigenics is.
Okay, so that comes out that it's creating this gas. And then do people in the neighborhood or people who work there all of a sudden try to make the connection of, wait, I have cancer? How did that connection all start?
That's a great question. So as I've talked to some of the folks who have been affected, one thing that they say that I hear over and over again is, on my block, there were so many instances of cancer and we couldn't figure out what it was. And I've heard it over and over again. We could not figure it out why it was happening with such frequency. And I'm not just talking about in the last 5 years. I'm talking about the late 80s into the 90s, into the 2000s, and over the last few years as well. And so in addition to people starting to put those pieces to the puzzle together, after that report came out in the fall of last year, the U.S. EPA did targeted testing. And keep in mind, this is when Sterigenics knows they're under the microscope. And while doing that testing over the course of December and January, and into February, the emission levels were by multiples of more than 100 higher than what is potentially considered a, and I'm going to put this in quotes, safe level of ethylene oxide. We're not sure there is a safe level, but
who determines, is that the EPA who determines that, or who makes that decision on what a safe level or an unsafe level is?
So that's based on scientific studies, epidemiological studies. So, you know, the US EPA, they do what they do, and they have regulations and laws that they're supposed to enforce, but they rely upon the scientific community.
Yeah.
And so the scientific community has looked at, and not in great detail, but certain scientists have really dived deep and determined at what level is there an enhanced risk of cancer?
Yeah.
And so those levels have been tried to, you know, we've tried to figure out exactly what that is, because there truly is. There's ethylene oxide. There's what's called ambient ethylene oxide pretty much everywhere. Yeah. What the source of it is can be up for debate. But when you look at the testing that was done in and around the Sterigenics facility,
right,
it was so high.
And right, that's after yeah, there was a warning about there could be possible emissions. Why wasn't this checked years ago? Was anyone keeping track of this?
Okay, well, that's another very important question for both the Illinois EPA moving forward as they figure out, along with the Attorney General's office, what to do about this seal order, whether Sterigenics will ever reopen, as well as the litigation that I'm involved in and other plaintiffs' lawyers are involved in representing the victims. So what we have is we have Sterigenics where the emissions that are coming from the plant are being tested internally. So over the years, they self-report to the EPA. And what they self-report is what's coming out of the scrubbers. Now, there's a question there. Is what they're reporting accurate? That's a question that needs to be looked at, and we'll be conducting extensive discovery to see if they were reporting accurately. That's number one. Number two, there's something known as fugitive emissions. So I have heard about this from ex-employees. It was on a CBS story. It was right after the Super Bowl. Ex-employees have said that when the alarms were going off that the ethylene oxide within the plant was too high, for the workers that were working there, rather than go through the appropriate protocols, potentially evacuate the building while it's unsafe, they would just open the windows, let it into the community. So that's what ex-employees have told us. People are stepping up. And
can I ask how often that was an occurrence? Did that happen frequently, or is that a one-time thing, or what?
No, yeah. From my understanding, and again, we continue to collect information from folks that are coming forward, because you have to be very brave to come forward. And so from folks that are coming forward, it's not that it was a one-time occurrence. It's that it was part of the culture.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about this. Patrick A. Salvi II is here, managing partner of Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard. You're over on Clark Street. SalviLaw.com is the best way for people to get in touch with you?
That's correct.
And even if they're in, even though you're a Chicago office, if they are living in or around the Willowbrook area and want to talk about this, they contact you? Is that the best thing to do?
They can. And
is this a class action suit, or is this a personal? How is it handled? How are you guys doing it?
Sure. It's not quite a class action suit. So yeah, a class action suit is typically reserved for those types of cases where an individual case would make a lot of sense. Let's say a whole group of people, say a million people, are cheated out of $100. Well, yeah, nobody would bring an individual lawsuit, but you might bring a class action lawsuit and put it all together and make sure that the wrongdoer is held accountable. So that's not what this is. Each individual will have their own lawsuit, but because it's so many people, the courts have to do something to accommodate. You couldn't possibly have thousands and thousands of individual lawsuits. It would crowd the court docket. So the courts are going to have to figure out a way to expeditiously resolve these disputes over the next few years.
We have a ton more questions. Listeners have some questions. 312-981-7200. So we will continue talking about the Sterigenics plant that is now currently closed. Will it ever open? We don't know the answer to that.
We don't. We'll talk about it more in just a little bit.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Patrick A. Salvi II is in the studio with us, managing partner of Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard. Their Chicago office is on Clark Street. You can go to salvilaw.com. We're talking about Sterigenics. It's really blown up with the plant being closed on February 15th. I was asking you, Patrick, off the air, first of all, I can't imagine Sterigenics is the only plant around that is sterilizing medical equipment using ethylene
oxide.
Are there other places in the area that are doing this?
So two places are in Lake County, in the Gurnee-Waukegan area, Medline and Vantage. And the recent news reports that I've read is residents are concerned and asking for similar type testing. So it's important to note that there are plants, even Sterigenics plants, around the country. So there's more than just Sterigenics in Willowbrook that are using ethylene oxide to sterilize medical equipment. The question is really about emitting the ethylene oxide.
Were the other places tested?
Same deal as far as their self-reporting to the EPA. And so when you have a situation where you don't know how accurate that is in the state EPA or the U.S. EPA is for whatever reason not able to do their own testing, or they're not doing adequate audits, or whatever the case may be, you're really just relying on the self-reporting. And then when you hear some of these things after the fact, for example, what I said before the break about ex-employees speaking out about some of the practices at the Willowbrook Sterigenics, then you become very concerned about really the reliability of the figures that were self-reported by the companies.
Self-reported, that's very scary. We tell people the show is good that we're on, you know, that's just our own opinion.
Yeah, they're making, we know that, we know, everyone knows we're making it up. How much of the case is spent determining whether or not they were endangering the people in and around Willowbrook, and then how much of the case is spent with them where you're trying to prove that they knew that they were endangering them? You know what I mean? There's a difference there.
There is, and there are remedies for folks who are victims that might not depend upon knowledge, but at the same time, knowledge is very important. So let's talk about that. When we talk about things like asbestos, when we talk about things like tobacco, historically, there were industries, there were individuals, and so-called scientists that were hired by companies that had an interest in promoting the safety of, for example, asbestos and tobacco. Now, as we sit here today in 2019, we know that both of those things are extraordinarily dangerous to our health.
Yeah.
And so when individuals were then bringing lawsuits, and plaintiffs' lawyers like myself began digging into the evidence, doing discovery, getting documents, they learned a whole lot about the tobacco and asbestos industry that showed their knowledge, that showed the cover-ups, that showed that tremendous financial resources were being put behind the defense of those products. And so where are we now with ethylene oxide? I can't tell you because we're sort of just getting going. Mm-hmm. But I kind of equate it like this. Where there's smoke, a lot of times there's fire. There's certainly plenty of smoke in certain ways right now, in the sense that even under the microscope, the emissions are way too high, and ex-employees have spoken out as such, and we know it's a cancer cluster in the Willowbrook area, in the sense that it's one of the top cancer clusters in America. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that something is going on, and right, we need to get to the bottom of this. So what will discovery reveal as far as knowledge? I don't know, but we're going to look at that very, very closely.
Surely there must be another way to sterilize medical equipment.
So there is, and there are a variety of ways to sterilize medical equipment. Now, Sterigenics will take the position that certain medical equipment requires ethylene oxide. In some of the court filings, they stated that more than 50% of medical equipment is sterilized by ethylene oxide. So if that's the statistic they provide, that means up to or approaching 50% is not ethylene oxide, but they do say certain equipment has to be ethylene oxide. What I can tell you is that there was a particular product that may very well have been much safer than ethylene oxide, and this was a product developed by a company, Noxilizer. In 2016, the FDA cleared a sterilization process that did not involve the use of ethylene oxide. And in October of 2017, the company Noxilizer was purchased by Sterigenics, and we haven't heard about that technology since. It would, of course, be a very expensive maneuver to completely uproot their systems, to change the process of taking in orders, sterilizing equipment, getting the equipment out, having the appropriate equipment in all of their plants with a safer product. That would be a very expensive endeavor.
So it looks like they're just buying up their competition
and burying
their competition.
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like, and that's another thing we've got to look at.
Patrick, is this sterilization ever done on site? Is it ever done at hospitals, or is it always done kind of off campus? How do they manage that?
Sure. So my understanding is that some of it is done on site. Yeah. However, the lion's share of implants and surgical instruments and things that are that need to be carefully packaged, the ethylene oxide method penetrates the packaging. And that's one of the benefits of ethylene oxide. So again, if ethylene oxide could be perfectly contained, and if companies put in the appropriate resources to perfectly, or as best they can, contain the ethylene oxide, that would be much better than what we've understood from Sterigenics as far as the emissions. But to answer your question, hospitals, my understanding is they do some of it, but not even close to the level that a company like Sterigenics does.
It's very scary, and I have to tell you, if I lived in Willowbrook, even if I didn't have cancer now, I would be afraid that I would develop it. This is over the course of many years this has been going on.
Well, and I don't want to add to the doom and gloom, but it is a very sad situation because what you have are two things at play. Number one, ethylene oxide mutates the genes. That's the way it affects the human body. And the mutation of genes occurs when ethylene oxide is breathed in. And then what you have is the gene mutation accumulates. So the more ethylene oxide, the more gene mutation. It affects children at a higher with a higher impact, so to speak, than adults, the developing body. It's a more profound effect on the developing body, including fetuses. And so what you have is a situation where there are people with mutated genes who may not have cancer now, but they might have it in the future.
Right. And as sad as the cancer element is, and that's horrifically sad, things like property values are plummeting because of this, right? Who's going to buy in an area that's got this going on?
And you're absolutely right about property value, and we can't kind of shove that aside. I mean, obviously, our health is the most important thing, but these are people's, you know, livelihoods, their life savings that have gone into their real estate, and so you're right about that. But also just, you know, FDR, I believe, that said, Winston Churchill. I'm going to correct myself. Nothing to fear but fear itself. There's fear now in the community.
Yeah, sure.
And it looks like it could be taken care of, that there are ways to maybe keep Sterigenics in business, but make it be safer for the environment and the people working there.
I think that has to be done one way or another, whether they reopen and make it safer or don't reopen. I mean, that's going to be a governmental process through the Illinois EPA and the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And then just accountability going forward. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do, not only help our victims with the compensation that they're going to really need to move forward and to take care of their families, but also the accountability so that any company in the future that's wondering, should we do the safe thing even though it's going to cost more, or should we just look at the bottom line, that they do the former and not
Absolutely.
The latter.
Patrick Isalvi II, thank you so much. Best way for people to reach you?
www.salvilaw.com. You can go on that website. You can find me there, and you can also call us at 312-372-1227. Again, 312-372-1227.
Thanks Patrick. So news is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Dave Schwann. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're 312-981-7200. Wendy, what do you think is the most trusted profession currently, 2019? In a Gallup poll, they asked people that question, which profession do you trust the most? And what did people answer by an overwhelming number?
I want to say a doctor, because I would trust my doctor.
You would hope, right? You would hope there'd be some bond of trust between you and your doctor. That is not the right answer, though.
school crossing
guard? Now, if this was Family Feud, I would now ask your sister the same question.
She wouldn't know.
She wouldn't know either, would she?
She's a former attorney, so she'd say attorney.
Right. She would be wrong
school crossing guard.
Oh, that's a great guess. Why do you say a school crossing guard?
Because I live near a school, and I'm telling you, this lady has got it down pat where she is directing, like,
she's
blow the stop
it?
Sign, you guys go for a while. And when a crossing guard is telling you to blow a stop sign that's physically on the property,
right.
You don't want, your brain doesn't connect that. You
I
don't want
to
do it. I
can never adjust to that,
I
ever.
Can't either, and she's
too hard.
Waving me like, come on, I'm telling you, go.
Right.
And then she stops us and lets the other street perpendicular to us go, but I can't blow a stop sign.
I come against this about once a day on my route here. I pass by a couple of schools, and I always hit at least one where they're doing that,
yep.
And I feel
there's
I feel
a stop
wrong
sign for a
it.
Reason.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. Crossing guard is incorrect. But you would think you'd want to trust those people because your children's lives depend on them. And school bus drivers, certainly, you would think also.
Oh, I don't trust those.
You don't trust them.
Some of them. But I always think Otto.
Otto
from-
on Simpsons. Yeah, me too.
Hey, dudes.
Me too. You know, it's I will give you the answer in just a second as to which profession is the most trusted. But yesterday on the stream, you and I started talking about the news cycle. And I said, I'm thinking back to a time when you and I were little where Walter Cronkite was considered to be the most trusted man in America. And I said, I don't know that that's the case anymore. News people, although hopefully trustworthy, I can't think of a single news person that Americans would agree is the most trusted person in America.
But then Ryan Burrow came up with Lester Holt, who might be...
I trust Lester Holt, and you trust Lester Holt, but I have to think that people will go, no, he's shilling for somebody. Any news person now is shilling for somebody. I'm not singling out Lester Holt, but I'm just saying... Whereas Walter Cronkite didn't seem to have an agenda, like most people couldn't tell you which
right.
political side he was on. Now with news people, you tend to know, right?
What about a barista?
Oh, that's a great answer. Incorrect, however.
Yeah, they get my drink
didn't even
order
make
wrong.
Did not even make the top 10 of the most trusted professions in America. Shall I tell you? Is it time?
Yeah.
Nurses.
Oh, I agree.
More so,
100%.
Now, why more a nurse than a doctor?
Because you just wonder sometimes. I really trust my doctors, and I've never had issues, but a lot of people are like, oh, they're just a shill for the pharmaceutical companies.
They're like Lester Holt. Everyone's a shill.
But a nurse, I mean, if you've ever been in the hospital, the nurses work really hard.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah,
no
nurse
question about
is
it.
Definitely the answer.
Nurses, more than 80% of people in this Gallup poll rated nurses as the most trustworthy profession. It says this isn't the first time that nurses topped the poll. In fact, they've been consistently ranking in the top most trusted profession for the last 17 years. Medical professionals are trusted more across the board, this according to Forbes. The next two most trusted professions are doctors and pharmacists. So your top three are nurses, doctors, and pharmacists, all having to do with your medical health. You should trust them, right?
Yeah, because they don't want you to die because they want you to keep
bad
coming.
Bad for business.
Yeah.
It would be bad for business. Who after them, then? Who is after nurses and doctors and pharmacists?
Undertakers.
High school teachers.
Interesting.
Police officers, accountants, funeral directors.
All right. I was up in the top.
And members of the clergy. Bad timing.
I know. And I still.
Very bad timing.
I still trust the priests at my church.
I guess you have to separate individual members of the clergy, those that you know, from overall of the overall group.
Same
right?
with doctors
you could
and
say,
police
I was just
officers
gonna say, you could
and
say that
teachers.
About any one of these professions, right? After that.
That was specifically high school teachers, so at elementary
isn't
school
isn't that teacher? Odd? I would have thought they just would have said teachers, but no, they singled out high school teachers, and I'm not sure why.
Bail bondsmen.
Bail bondsmen did not make the list. Very
Hooker dealers.
Yep, that one's way up there. This one I am shocked with all that's gone on in the last couple of years, but after your medical professionals, your nurses and doctors and pharmacists, high school teachers, police officers, then accountants, then funeral directors, then clergy, journalists.
When was this poll done?
1961. It just says recently. It doesn't say more specific than that.
I know that the majority of journalists, I know here they pride themselves on being accurate.
Yep.
And it's...
Right?
They really work hard to be unbiased.
But has a day gone by in the last 2+ years that you don't hear the phrase fake news? It permeates. It's just everywhere.
Yeah, but people now use that when someone doesn't agree with you. They just whip it out.
I know.
Fake news.
I know. Here's another one I have to say I'm surprised about. Building contractors.
Really?
You hear a lot of stories. Bankers. Does that surprise you at all?
No, because not many people go to banks anymore, so they're not that busy, and there are cameras watching their every move.
to keep
them
honest.
I think that would be higher, yeah.
To keep them honest. Real estate agents, labor union leaders. Now, keep in mind, these are still in the upper echelon. These are the most trusted. I keep having to look down going, wait, I'm reading the wrong list, but I'm not. And then lawyers. Which you would almost think would be on the exact opposite list.
Well, because that is a generalization.
The stereotypical shyster lawyer, only in it for the money.
I don't know who gets who's the butt of jokes more frequently, lawyers or drummers. They're both high up there,
right?
And without warrant, in my opinion,
right?
If
you are a lawyer who has a drum kit, look out! Everyone's going to rip you.
All right, Eric, talk to us. What's your profession?
Bill Wundy, I'm in the funeral business. I'm a funeral director, and I always thought I was in one of the most least trusted professions. I get that from people now and then where they say, oh, you guys just take advantage of people's grief and rake people over the coals and et cetera, et cetera. So I was surprised to hear us.
And it's unfair, right?
The top.
There are some that do that, just like with every group.
Profession.
There are some bad people in every group.
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, we're strictly regulated by the federal government, but back in the early 80s, one of Chicago's investigative news reporters did a big expose on what she perceived as, taking advantage of people by funeral directors. It's like, oh, you don't need this type of casket, you don't need this, and they're just grief profiteers, and watch your back, because they're going to take every penny that you can.
Eric,
and
here's,
your jewelry.
Can I'll explain to you what you already know, but it needs to be said anyway. We're at our most vulnerable when we're either getting married or when you're dying, when somebody has died. That's when you're at your most vulnerable. So there are some that could take advantage of those moments. You agree to that, right?
Yes, most definitely. I personally always tell people, blend your sense of practicality with your sense of emotion. You know, guard against overspending, and if there's something that you feel that you need, then by all means, you get whatever you want and never anything that you don't want.
And the bottom line is a good working relationship. I've buried both my mom and my dad, and, you know, when my siblings and I are there figuring things out, it's like, oh, that's beautiful, but let's be realistic. And once we make a decision, there's no, like, oh, come on, you don't want to.
You can't be prouded in another drug. Yeah.
So, all right. We got to run.
A lot of time. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Eric. Oh, wow, that was easy.
That was record time. Never seen that before.
Okay, bye.
Wow.
Never happened.
All right, what are the least trusted professions? We'll get to those next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're going to have a lot of free commercial time after the mayoral race ends today.
Yes, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very, very true. All right, so a Gallup poll came out, and they asked which occupations are the most trustworthy, the most honest, the most ethical. Number one on their list, by far, nurses. Everybody trusts nurses. Over 80% of the people who responded rated nurses as the professionals that they trust the most. After that were pharmacists and doctors. You had real estate agents, you had journalists, building contractors, bankers, labor union leaders, and lawyers. I'm sorry, but that surprises me. It really does. I would have thought it would be the opposite way, but no, they were among the most trustworthy.
Why aren't firefighters on there?
I don't know why. That's a great question.
Because, boy, do I trust them.
Yeah.
If they say get out, I'm going to listen to
them. Yeah. So how about the opposite? Which professions are the least trusted? I'll do it in descending order.
Weathermen. Except for Skilling.
Except for Tom Skilling. Weathermen were not on the list, Wendy.
Someone texted that.
All right, so these are the least trustworthy, according to this particular Gallup poll. And again, much like the most trustworthy, I'm sure there are exceptions to every rule.
In any profession, you're going to find some that are trustworthy and some that are not, correct? All right, the bottom includes business executives.
Well, that's so broad.
Stockbrokers. No?
I don't have any.
Advertising practitioners. These are people who create your ads that you see on TV telling you that if you use this product, you'll be cool and rich and everyone will love you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Telemarketers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
come
for
on.
Sure. Car salesmen.
There's some trustworthy ones.
There are some very trustworthy ones.
Because now you can, honestly, you can get all your information on the internet. Before it was it Edmunds that you could just, I would come in with like a notebook and
right.
ask them questions.
Right.
So they couldn't really, there wasn't a lot of wiggle room.
There's still some game playing that goes on. There's still some element of what would it take to get you in this car today? And there's a lot of tipping
God,
off.
I love when they
I've
say
I've gone
that.
As far as I can go. You know who? I'm going to bring Mark in. Because Mark would like to meet you. He'll talk to you. We'll see what we can put
what
together.
What can I do to get you in that
what
car? That is the
I
best
do
line.
To get you in this car today.
Why aren't airline pilots higher up on that trustworthy
list? Oh, is that
list?
A good question? Is that a good question? And the most... Oh, I'm sorry. The least trusted person or profession. Car salesman was second. Members of Congress... 8% of the people in this Gallup poll, 8%. Now, keep in mind, most of those people probably voted for these Congress people, and yet still, there is no trust factor at all. Less than 8% of the people asked said that they trusted their members of Congress. How frightening. Less than car salesmen, who are notoriously, that's the go-to. If you have to find a profession of untrustworthiness, you go, what are you, like a used car salesman? But the members of Congress even beat them.
That's interesting. Why aren't dentists so high up on the list?
There's a
I
few...
guess the medical profession should be
but
together.
But they specifically said doctors and dentists are not mentioned. But your better question is firemen, because that's one you really want to trust.
Oh, I used to trust my weed guy, but now I got to fire him. So he was on the top of the list, now the bottom.
Was that a text, Wendy, or your own?
Oh, what? Yeah,
that
it was just
text.
An aside.
No. All right. Wow. All right, here's the game plan, everybody. We're out of time here on regular radio, but that doesn't mean we're done. We're headed toward the stream. Come on with us. It's a lot of fun on the stream. It's the stream of consciousness for the next hour. Coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwant from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.